Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Have a Little Insight. Awesome episode and conversation we just had with David and his wife, Allie. David and his wife were high school sweethearts who grew up together and now travel the world seeking new experiences and dive into crazy situations to see where life takes them. We talked to David and Allie about what it means to follow your heart in terms of finding the love of your life or your work or just what you think your path might be or why you are living your existence right now. And David and Allie describe it as that quiet little voice in our heart that never stops calling to us. We need to get out there and see where our souls are driving us to be more. And we talked to them about their relationship, how they've managed to stay together for 14 years when even they were teenagers and living in different countries, and their experience about living together out of an RV for a year, traveling the States on solar power with their cat, who's called Kitty. So take a listen. This was a good one and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I hope you do too.
Hi, Ryan. I'm David. This is
Hello.
Alessandra,
Hi.
My wife.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
And we are currently living in Montreal. We were traveling there for a while, and since COVID happened, we had to just kind of be in our little cabin fever mode. So what do you guys want to talk about today? Do you want to just like start from the very beginning, or?
Well, you guys probably have it all set up. So
thank you for inviting us. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh,
thank you.
You're welcome. I was so happy that you said yes. It was like it started because I just look at your relationship and like I know how long you've been together. And I remember David having to move back to the States and you guys stayed together and like so many people separate and like not many people marry their high school sweetheart and stuff like that. And so like that's how it started for me. And I mentioned it to Ryan, and then I started looking into like more of the stuff that you talked about on like travel whispers and like just how you both work remotely and manage to fit your travel. And I was like, yeah, I'm like, I'm getting more excited.
Well, I came up with this idea. We were both kind of we had traveled before, you know, like going to Costa Rica for a month when we were kids, Puerto Rico and Peru. But those were largely just vacations. And in 2017, I think I was working just in a regular 9-to-5 job. I could feel that my potential wasn't really being explored. And Alessandra as well, she was working at a place where, you know, it was a stressful environment in design. It's a design-based industry. So it's interior design.
I work in corporate, so yeah. I do office design, and I also do I work two jobs, and then I do freelance in residential design, which is what I was doing while we were traveling, because I can work from my computer.
And it's a lot less stressful. We were both working these 9-to-5 jobs, and we were following van life accounts. And we're like, man, that would be so cool to do it. I've always had this thing where I said, you know, just follow your heart. Your heart talks to you. And if you can listen to your heart, then it's telling you what path you have to take, like in this life, to be happy. And you can try to follow society's dictations to you to like try to make as much money as possible, go to school to do this, to be able to make money or pay your bills and get debt and things like that. But that's not what our heart was trying to tell us. It was trying to say that like we need to explore. I get out on the open road. So yeah. We made the decision to purchase an RV in Michigan. And then my brother went and got it for us, started with my dad. And then we started renovating it there. We put solar on it and everything. We fixed up all the holes that were in it. It was a 1977 Dodge Winnebago. So it was super old.
It was so awesome. It literally looked like it was like right out of like straight from Breaking Bad. Like, people totally thought that people were doing meth in there or something.
Yeah, it was totally odd.
And the name on it was like already on there, and it was like we couldn't even like take it off, and it was Hillbilly Hilton, and we're like, you know what, we're just gonna keep
they
it.
They painted it on.
Yeah, they painted it on, and I was just like, I did not want to go through the process of like changing the exterior. So
we traveled in that thing for a year around the United States. Ever since then, when we came back, we were just so enamored with the thought of just traveling and People always ask us, where does your money come from? How do you do this? And honestly, the money is never an issue. Money always just it flows. It's kind of like energy. If you just do what you're anyways for us,
It flows in and out, right?
yeah.
I mean, just as fast as it came in, it also comes out. And you just have to trust that it's gonna continue to come in and out, you know?
As
And
long as you work hard to try to achieve your dream, you can always make money. In the end, when we're too old to do anything and we're sitting around, like we can say the money was never an issue. The thing that mattered the most was that we chased our desires. Maybe then when we're old we can be like, man, I wish I would have saved some money. But I think that it really comes down to the experiences that we
Yeah.
that we've got.
I think that's also our generation. Like, I find that our generation's also not really buying houses. Like, a lot of, like, maybe, I mean, some of them are, but I mean, a lot of them are also like digital nomads or like freelancing or like, they don't want to be in debt. And that's it. We also don't have a house we're renting, you know? We would like to one day, but right now it's like, a lot of our money is going towards experiences, and I don't, maybe that's not the great, I don't know.
Well, climbing and traveling and camping and hiking, kayaking and biking. We're very outgoing.
Yeah, well, I think it's just important, like you said, it's more about being happy, right? You can have all the money in the world and be miserable. So,
Exactly.
yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of like anxiety and depression swirling around because everyone has this idea in their head that they have to do things the way that their parents did it or the way that everyone else is telling them to do it. But there's so many like alternative ways to, live your life now. And like the wealth that you guys are getting from your experiences is far greater than just having money and sitting around and, feeling like there's something missing that you wanted to do, but you just never get around to doing it. So, I don't know. I feel like you guys will be fine. You'll when you decide to settle down, then you'll be like, well, you know what? We've seen the entire world now. I think we're good.
But that's the thing, like when before we even went on this trip, like I was working, I had a like I mean, I still work at that job right now. Obviously with COVID, it's slowed down, but like when I was working corporate, like 9 to 5, like I was building my career, you know, like that, like in a 9 to 5 job. And I felt like around the end of like my 3rd year at this firm, I was really like, I felt like I was numbing myself, you know, like I was kind of like numbing myself with distractions, numbing myself, like whether that's like drinking or partying or whatever. Like, I wasn't really, that's it. Like, I wasn't listening to my heart. Like, and the thing that I really wanted to do was I really wanted to take a year off and travel. I didn't care really what it was. And I think at the beginning, it was, I wanted to do something similar to what my cousin did. He traveled for 3 years backpacking around Asia. And David really wanted to go back to his roots. He really wanted to discover the United States. He knew that there were beautiful places that, you know, I know right now we say the States and we have like this image.
We have a political image whenever we think of the United States, and honestly, the United States is a beautiful country. The world is beautiful, and we don't ever hear about these extremely beautiful places in the United States. So that was really something that I wanted to do. I'd only ever spent time on the East Coast, from Montreal to Georgia, and like the furthest west I'd been was like Kentucky. So I said, we have to get out. We have to get out west. We have to see the desert. We have to see the redwoods. We have to see Yosemite. And
So we combined that. You know, like I wanted to travel for a year and he wanted to go to the States. So we combined that and we tried to make it work. And even building up to it, like I was so scared of quitting my job. I was like, what the hell am I doing? Like,
there was a point where you were just like, should we not do this? But
yeah.
I'm like, we're doing this.
No, David,
I'm
like, already,
dragging you.
yeah. David already told his work, like, hey, I'm leaving. And I'm like, and I still hadn't told my boss yet. And I'm just like, oh my God, I can't just, like, you know, oh, sorry, babe, I didn't tell my boss I was quitting, so we can't go anymore, even though you already quit your job. You know, like, I was like, holy shit, like, I'm.
Had no problem. I just walked in one day and I was like, hey, can I talk to you? Like to
God.
my boss. And I was like, yeah, so thanks for the job, but I'm quitting. But he actually gave me the opportunity to work full time on the road. So I made that work.
Yeah. And my boss was so understanding. Like, she had also traveled a lot when she was younger, like around the world and everything. So she was like, yeah, you have to do this now before you like settle down. And she's like, go do it. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, okay, it's happening.
And that's something too with like the fear. Like, sometimes the fear doesn't exist. And like, if you follow your heart, like your path will take care of you. And we just, we stuck to our, we had conviction in following our heart and we were taken care of. And I feel like that was our guides, or it was our purpose, or we were meant to travel or something, but it really healed a big part of us. Like, I had started gaining weight and everything and slipped into a bit of a depression before we went on this trip. And then during the trip, I just noticed that like all my weight was gone. And like, I didn't have this depression anymore. And I was so excited to just find a mountain and then park under it and then climb up it and take some pictures, or go jump into every stream or river or lake that I saw. And whether it was super cold or it was really hot, but I mean, we coast to coast around the United States, we went in a giant circle. I don't know if you saw the map on our Instagram page, but we did all the way from Michigan to Florida, and then to the beach in Texas. We went up into Colorado and then Utah and then Nevada and then California, went up into Oregon and then Washington, and then went straight across, got back down into Wyoming, and then into South Dakota, back up to Michigan. It was a total of 15,000 miles, but over a year, we had just kind of camped out wherever we just really liked. And we had solar on the RV. We didn't have a generator. I did everything solar so we wouldn't disturb nature around us. And it was just the most peaceful. Would we do it again? Meh.
So that was,
it was tough.
That's the thing. It was tough. Like, not only because it was an old RV and we thought that it was going to break down like at any minute, but yeah, it's also uncomfortable, you know, like our bathroom was had, it was a curtain, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, our shower, we would take like sponge baths, you know, like yeah. unless we like parked somewhere
to
with
save water. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was always cold showers. Like, unless we parked somewhere that like a campsite or whatever, or like that had showers, like
the worst was when we were in Colorado or something and it was super cold.
Yeah.
And we had to take a shower, and there's a way to heat up the water. But at the same time, we had like propane and then we had electricity, but we didn't have the electricity hooked up to our water heater because that ran off of propane, and also wasn't too sure how to work it.
Yeah. So when we came back, we were just like, oh, nice shower. Like, yeah. I was so happy to have like a nice bathroom.
We were back for 3 months and we got back into our routine again.
Yeah.
And we just felt sick again. So we were just like, we can't do it. And then we just started traveling again. And then this stuff happened, the COVID-19 stuff.
But you're probably grateful now that you had that experience either way.
Oh, yeah.
It makes you feel a little bit more fulfilled.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was nice that like through our adventure and stuff, we encouraged other people to do it. Like,
yeah.
I think that was the biggest thing, was that the main purpose of like our channel as well was that like we wanted to show people that, hey, you can do it too. Like, you know, we're just regular people and we quit our jobs and we managed and we did it. And like one of David's best friends, like Ben, he literally like, what, converted his truck, like literally, not even an RV, he had a pickup, and he like came and met us in California.
He built like a little bed platform and he got a camper top, and he traveled out from Georgia to the Grand Canyon where we met, and he had planned to just stay in the Grand Canyon with us and then leave, and then have a few days back at home with his vacation. I was like, why? You go home every single day. Let's go to California, coast to coast. He went to California with us.
Yeah, and he dipped his toes in West Water.
In the Pacific, yeah.
Yeah, in the Pacific.
Well, it was a really cold day, but we went into the water anyways. I tackled him in it. But that was like my childhood friend who came out and saw us. And now we're getting, you know, one of my other friends in California that we hung out with, he just bought an RV, and now he's starting to travel around the States. And you know, there are people who are that followed us, and they realized that our channel wasn't about making money, wasn't about the pretty stuff, wasn't about like all the doctored photos and stuff. We literally just took pictures wherever we were, and we're like, we're here. Hopefully our kids one day will look at that and just be like, that's cool, you know. Mm-hmm. Our parents did that, or our grandparents did that, and I mean that's going to be there for them forever, so that they can just see what we did, and hopefully I can inspire my kids to do it.
And you don't even really need an RV. Like we did a weekend of we went to Yosemite and Lake Tahoe, and I literally I had planned the whole thing. And was it for your birthday? I forget. It was like for something.
I think it was for my birthday.
And I rented an SUV hatchback.
I think it was a SUV.
And literally, I just took like the mattress. We took the mattresses from the RV, and like we made a bed in the back, and we did 3 days of like just in the SUV. We went to Yosemite. We hiked up Yosemite Falls.
Yeah.
Then we rented a place in Lake Tahoe, but like that's how I see us right now. Like if we wanted to go climb, like go to a climbing spot, like maybe like out of Montreal, and like we would just, we don't have the car, we don't have the SUV, but
we would just take a tent.
But we can take our tent, yeah, and we can just go and do that. But the spirit is still there, you know.
Yeah, that's one thing that I really think is important to note as well, is that, you know, in the city, you kind of feel trapped and boxed in. There's energy all around you from people, you know, like people honking the horn, people like yelling out their windows, slurs and stuff to people because they're, you know, like driving slow or something. And, you know, there's just so much bouncing energy everywhere. And it's important to just get out to nature and just kind of de-stress, just kind of declutter your mind and just hike, or even just sit there in a field, or just listen to the way that every single tree makes a different sound when the wind hits it, or just like the different kinds of birds, and just be completely aware of the sunshine or the cloud that just passed overhead, or whatever it could be. And I think that that's the most healing thing that I got out of the trip, was just to be human and not have to worry about, you know, being a cog in the machine and making money and paying rent and paying bills and being there at every social event with your friends and you know, even family can be demanding as well. But really, you know, it's just, you have to be observant of the natural world around you. And I feel like that kind of just takes all the stress, all the cortisol out of your system. And I really encourage people to do that. If that's one thing that you take away from this podcast, is that you have to get out into nature, just for a few days, or even just for one day or one weekend. If you have to go by yourself, or if you take a friend, just make sure that, you know, you respect each other's space and have an intention to go out there. It's just have an intention that I'm just going to sit under a tree, or I'm going to go hiking. I'm not going to take my music or anything. I'm going to have my phone, of course, for safety in case you need to phone for help. But, you know, just try to be respectful for yourself, your natural self, and the environment. I couldn't stress that enough.
I love that, actually, because, last year for the first time, I went camping all by myself, and I just got tired of relying on other people to do what I want to do or go where I want to go or whatever. So I was like, I'm out. I threw my tent in my car. I threw like a bag full of clothes. I mean, I was car camping, so it was like still like kind of glammy, but I didn't know anybody. It was just me. I showed up. I rented a kayak. I paddled. I sat by the fire by myself, you know, had a glass of wine, had some like okay food, and it was great just to disconnect, digital detox. Nobody called me, nobody bugged me, there was no reception. I mean, I was perfectly safe, I was in a campground, but that disconnection, or even just for a day when you go on like a 6 kilometer hike or something like that, it makes a huge difference too. And
yeah,
it's easy to lose sight of that in the city and getting caught up in what everybody else thinks you should be doing or want to do, or, you know, like so many people in my life were like, wait, you're going camping by yourself? And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going like into the middle of the jungle or the woods. Yeah. Like, we're starting low. This is a provincial park here. Like, I think it'll be okay. And my parents were like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, trust me, it'll be fine. Like, there's rangers and everything. Like, we're just starting small here. But I would like to take it a step further and do things like just throw my tent on a backpack, hike up somewhere, set up my tent and stay, you know? I think that's really important.
Those are the best, because when we were doing our trip around, we would boondock. We would go to public land where there's no There's no water, there's no campgrounds, there's no nothing. You literally drive out into the middle of the desert off of like a public road that's used for just, I don't know, like at public land in the United States. Canada also has it, but you're allowed to camp there for up to 2 weeks. And we would try to go for the maximum. We would go for 2 weeks per spot. And we did that in all over the United States. And I think those are the best places because you don't really have a lot of people around you. And whenever someone does come around, you're totally aware that they're there because there's nobody else. And no one really invades your privacy or anything. We were scared of that as well.
Or maybe it was that our RV just scared people away.
That was our theft protection.
It was totally our theft protection. No need for alarms or anything. It's just like...
People were like, oh, they don't have anything. And then meanwhile, we had like our professional working laptops and like a PlayStation. And I had like
thousands of dollars worth of equipment. Yeah. My God.
No one expects the hillbillies, right?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Very unassuming.
How long did it take you guys to like prep the RV after you bought it with the solar panels and like the remodeling? I read a little bit about it on your website this morning, but that sounds like it was like a huge task.
It was a lot of work. Yeah. It was a huge task because I was working full time at the same time, you know, and at the very beginning in Michigan when we got the RV, we took out a lot of the rot and some cabinets and things like that, and we decided to do some design changes, and we added a wall, but we basically just fixed the roof, we patched up all the holes, we got it roadworthy, and then that's where I put on the solar panels as well. So we bought the solar panels.
Amazon, right?
Yeah. Bought the solar panels on Amazon.
Yeah.
Got the batteries from Walmart, and the inverter and the charge controller all came with solar panels.
Yeah, we were super fortunate because Dave's father is an electrician, so
he didn't really do much.
Did he? He set up the breaker for us.
Yeah, he set up the breaker for us, but really that was pretty easy to understand too. Once you kind of understand that there's a negative and a positive, and where do the negatives go? Where does the positives go? Then you add the breakers to the box, and then the breakers is what protects your batteries from like any kind of surges. So, you know, and then we wired up the batteries to the inverter, and then the inverter we just use for all of our electricity. I also hooked up the lights, the 12-volt system in the RV to be able to turn on the lights and work the water pump. So we were completely self-sufficient, and actually a couple had bought it to live in off the grid while they built their house that's off grid as well. And I'm certain to this day they have no problems with the systems that we mm-hmm. installed.
Yeah. David did most of like the construction electrical, and I was like, I wanted it to look really pretty inside. So I did all like the design and whatever on the inside. And I would tell David, we need to do this. And he would do the construction for it.
It took maybe about a month to be able to get it roadworthy and to get on the road with the electrical system. And then after that, when we fixed up the propane and got new rims for it.
Oh yeah. That was a bad experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was an experience, and now we know better, you know,
yeah.
But we didn't know anything learning going experience. Into it. We were complete noobs.
Yeah.
Like, we had no idea what was going on. But we just decided to continue doing it. Like there was always the question, like, should we just give up and go back? Like, that's just sticking around, you know, and you just kind of have to beat it up and like, no. We're gonna stick to the plan, and we're gonna keep going.
But there's also comfort in that. So like knowing that, like, hey, you know what? If it doesn't work out, at least you tried, and you can go back home. And you know what? Yeah, you can go back to your parents' place. You know, stay there for a month, get your shit together, and then go back out. You know, or not out to what you were doing before, but like whatever is next. You know what I mean? Like that was always my sense of security. Like, you know, I tried and. You know, if it was really expensive and it was an expensive lesson and whatever, but like you can always go back home. You know what I mean? And like, at one point the
go back home or rely on your friends or whatever. Just try to, just make sure you have a network. If you don't have a network, then you know,
like
you're in it. I mean, there's no going back. So
like I always
that's even better.
Yeah, I always like to like have like support systems. So like even when we were in California, we have friends in California. We went to go visit them, like, and even there, like we stayed in at their place while we were fixing up the RV. You know, like I always like to know. You know, I think it's good to ask for help sometimes. You know, like I don't think it's you don't have to do it on your own. And
we met people on the road, like. In Utah, when we were in Page, Arizona.
Yeah.
We just kind of met somebody on the side of the road when we were not side of the road. We were like at a shop looking for a mechanic. And he said, well, you know, what's going on? He introduced himself. He had offered us to stay in his house. And like while our RV was getting, it was just a total stranger. And he seemed all right. I mean, but there are always people that will help out. And then we just down the road, we went to an RV camp and it was an ex-pastor there who owned an RV camp. And
he wanted us to stay.
The owners of the RV camp wanted us to stay because we were helping out painting their new construction and everything. We're just kind of giving back because the pastor took us on like a 4-hour four-wheeler ride with our own four-wheeler out in the desert. And he showed us like all these canyons and like all the different kinds of snakes, and there's just beautiful roads and stuff that we went down, and they tried to make an extra RV spot for us because they were full, and they're like, look, you guys can stay indefinitely. You don't even have to pay rent. You can just stay. Just, you know, you do some work here and there. It's just like, you guys are amazing people. Just stay. Pretty sure they were trying to like indoctrinate us into the Mormon religion.
We started finding out a little bit of stuff
after. Yeah, but I mean, but they were super sweet.
Polygamous, like, community.
Yeah, it was a polygamous community. But I mean, it's not polygamous only. It's Mormons, right? So
right.
It's like.
Anyways, okay. No offense to any
belief,
religion.
Yeah, that's their belief system. But they were still super cool, and they were right next to Lake Powell in Arizona, which is it's like a national monument. It's a really beautiful place as well. We actually went kayaking in the canyons,
Antelope Canyon.
That was really cool. If you ever see like the pictures on Instagram where the people are between like two like red walls that are carved out by water, that's in Page, Arizona. That's in Antelope Canyons.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Our camera died at that point. I think I was like,
Our cameras died in Yosemite when we hiked, and
yeah, that too.
Just our cameras died wherever we were at the most beautiful places, which is kind of a blessing, but at the same time, like we've got like one or two proofs from people's cameras who were working, and we just asked, can you take a picture and just send it to us?
But there is one thing I wanted to talk about was that during our trip, like, we didn't really plan. Like, we did kind of plan, like, our trajectory and not really plan at the same time. And I think a huge thing was that it was, like, very spontaneous, and we allowed people to kind of guide us. So, like, there were situations and, like, where, I don't know, we were just meeting people, and they would say, hey, you should check this place out, or, like, they would, you know, it was like we were allowing ourselves to be guided by something that, you know, other than ourselves, you know? And I thought that was the coolest part, because even, like, you know, David stepped on a syringe, like,
In Texas.
Texas, on the beach. Like, it's just, like, David, I don't know, like, out of the...
Okay, I got bad luck.
He has bad luck.
I have good luck, but at the same time, I've got, like, terrible injury luck, so...
But anyways, and we were in the ER or whatever, and, like, the doctor at the end, he was like, oh, hey, and then we told him about our story, and he's like, oh, you should check out this little town called Frankfort and go to this place called Enchanted Rock, like, this national park or whatever, and we're like, okay, cool, and we went there, and then we would go to, like, a cafe, and then someone would tell us, like, oh, check out this place, and then that's just how we did everything.
That's how we did the entire trip.
People
just told us where to go, and then we would go there.
Yeah. And I love that. Like, I felt like, yeah, it was really cool. Like, I think that I don't know how to explain it.
We were guided. I really feel like it was like we were guided the whole way. We were kind of just like led, you know, just like we were on a rope and someone was just pulling us to like the coolest destinations and the coolest things. We never really ever felt unsafe. We never felt like unwanted. We were always in the best circumstances. I mean, there are so many circumstances as well that we didn't post on Instagram that we're probably going to post one day. But
another thing too is that, like, again, with the United States and, like, we think, like, political system and whatever, but you don't realize that people are so freaking nice. Like, yeah. I did, like, so nice. Like, I had to get the battery changed in my car or something, and I went to, like, the Walmart to get it done, and so, like, even the service, like, everyone was just so friendly to me. And I, like, if I did that here in Quebec, like, there'd be like, Esti, like, what are you doing, you know what I mean? And I was just like,
why are, like, you bothering me while
I know
working?
Or like, sorry, it's my first time changing the battery out of a car, like, yeah, you can, whatever, like, usually I don't do it, but I'm doing it now. And like, and they were so friendly. They guided me through the entire thing and did not, like, judge me at all, like, that I didn't know how to do that or whatever. And, like, yeah, and that was just, like, the entire trip. I think maybe, like, once or twice we ran into, like weird situations. But other than that, it was, like,
yeah.
When we were in Colorado, Colorado Springs, they're very, they were right-wing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
They were, just, like, super right-wing, like, Trump. And we're, like, here.
It's interesting when you take off like that, though, and you talk about being guided. When you don't have an agenda, and I find also when you travel alone with, like, not a plan except to have an experience, that's what happens. We'll go back to my one solo travel experience of camping that weekend, which is, you know, nothing compared to what you guys did. But I remember just walking into this little shop. Like, it was some lady's, like, it looked like it might have been her old garage. And she was, like, just selling local art and stuff in there. And probably if I had gone with a friend or if I had been with family members or whatever, I might not have talked to her as much. And she was like, do you know where you need to go? Here are the places you need to go. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was around here. So I did kind of the same thing you guys did. I just threw my backpack in my car, drove to the place she said that was like 45 minutes away. And it was like the most beautiful local cidery that had just opened. And they had all their own, like, orchard and yards and everything. Oh, cool. And they sold flights. And I just sat in this old Muskoka chair with, like, my little flight of cider. And I was like, this is gorgeous and amazing. And this all happened just because I stopped to talk to that one lady who's running an art store, like, out of her garage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, the way it just all comes together is incredible sometimes.
Even if you go on a walk out your front door and you just allow yourself to be guided. I mean, you get up early in the morning, or if you get up, you know, in the afternoon, whatever, just allow yourself to be kind of guided throughout your day. Just drop down your distraction level and just kind of be aware of everything that's going on, and listen to your body, like, oh, I'm hungry, so I'm going to go try something. First thing that I feel like as I walk by it, I'm going to go there.
Yeah, and then
if
maybe
you go
stop
there,
at a cafe,
you're going to talk to somebody. You're going to have an interaction with somebody. That's just how it happens. You're going to be there to eat. You're going to be open for conversation or whatever it is, and then something's just going to spontaneously, magically happen. And that's the magic of the world, and that's the magic of following your heart too. You just try to be as spontaneous as possible, and things just pop up, and they give you hints, and they give you little treats and treasures, and that's how we did our entire trip. That's how we now live our lives. We just allow ourselves to be spontaneous.
Yeah. It's one of those things that you bring it back into your everyday life, right? And even in small ways, like you said, just go to a new restaurant, go somewhere different, try a new activity, something that breaks you out of your typical comfortable situation, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like with the amount of experiences that you guys have had, you could do your own podcast just solely on travel stories.
We thought about it.
Yeah. But just to switch gears a little bit, though, I think I'm really curious as well from what Jenny mentioned to me about how you guys are trying to grow your relationship in a spiritual way. Mm-hmm. And I'm also curious about how your travel experiences have brought you closer together.
So the whole story, do you want me to start with the whole story of, like,
do we have time? How much time do we have?
we got as much time as you have.
Yeah, we got all the time to talk. I mean, we can always, you know, cut the episode into a two-parter and stuff like that too. We can just talk until we're done talking.
So, okay, I'll start with how we met.
I'm gonna grab more coffee.
Can you get me some too, please?
We can take a little break too. Like, this is a new thing for us, and we're just really excited to have people come on and share their stories with us. And, like, I'm been engaged the whole time, so I'm loving this.
Okay. I'll start with how we met. My father went to school in Montreal after World War II. His father was in World War II, and they came to Montreal to help open a factory, a car factory. And my father was going to school here, where he met Diane, and Diane is Jenny's aunt. Fast forward, like, I don't know how many decades in the future, 35 years or something like that, they reconnected because she needed a battery or something for a lamp that he had gifted her when he was 16. They started talking, and then they went to meet, and then ultimately the decision was to move to Montreal so that they could get married, and then I would go to school here. I went to school here for 2 years in a French school, and I met Alessandra at a park one day. She went to a completely different school, and at the moment I was like, oh, like, she's really cool. We'll hang out, and one thing led to another, and we started dating. About 6 months after we started dating, my dad said that they were getting a divorce, Diane and my father. So we went back to Michigan, where I had to go to an alternative school because they couldn't understand my French report cards. And I had started to go into the process of entering the National Guard and everything, like the army. I had scored really well on my tests. They were going to give me an extremely good job in the army, the National Guard, and I would start learning like Arabic and some other languages of the region. And then all of a sudden, one day, like I said, my heart told me, like, this is not what you want. And I'm extremely fortunate that I'm able to listen to my heart, and I'm able to follow it. I think I got that from my mother, who always told me stories from the Cherokee, the native Cherokee, and she always told me that everything has a spirit, everything has a voice, just listen to your heart. So when I was 16, I made the decision to drop out of that alternative school, which was a mess, to drop out of the recruitment process for the army, which was most likely just not going to be the path that I was supposed to take, and then go back to Montreal. So I worked for the summer, like roofing with my uncle, and then I used the money that I got from there, and then I just got on a bus and I went back to Montreal. And I would find places to sleep here and there with some friends and stuff, and I eventually just picked up our relationship from that moment on. I got an apartment and everything, started my life. Our relationship was harder at that point because we were in high school, and she was in high school and I had dropped out, so I had to get my GED and everything, and I had to go. I went back to Georgia at one point to get my GED, and then I came back to Montreal, then I went back to Georgia and started college, then I came back to Toronto with her. But eventually our relationship got to a point where it wasn't just staying together anymore. We had to come to terms with, we really feel like this relationship is meant to be because of the strength that we have to convey to stay together. There has to be something there. Like, it doesn't it's strange how kids essentially can make these life-altering decisions to be with each other, and it not be something special. So we fought against all odds to stay together because it was extremely difficult, me being on my own, and
Our parents didn't really want
our
us.
parents didn't want us
They
to
didn't
get.
understand. They were like, "Why are you going through all this?"
Yeah, why are you going through all this, David? You're dropping so many opportunities. Alessandro, like, he's not going anywhere. He's dropping out of school and stuff. And now they're like completely convinced that we were meant to be together. And both sides of our parents, like, they love us. Like, my father loves Allie, and like her mom, like she her mom has told me, like, I'll adopt you as my own. It's really cool that we have that relationship with the families, but it all kindled from our relationship. And even at our wedding, people were telling us, we've never been at a relationship so full of love and just so full. Like, it was nothing was planned at our relationship either. It was all spontaneous. They're like, what's your wedding song? What's your dance song? And we're like, I don't know, play this song, you know? And
then we started whatever comes up next.
Yeah, it was totally unlike any wedding I've ever been at. It was a crazy experience. It was just like we had done this before.
We did have to plan the like me walking in song, and I'm like, David, what do you think about this song? He's like, I don't care. And then he was like, no, and I'm like, damn it, like.
And that's how we've lived our life. So I think around in 2000 and whenever we started on this trip, we started to become more open to our empathic abilities. Mm-hmm. So we started to think about.
That's because we started listening.
Yeah, we started listening to ourselves.
We started numbing ourselves.
Yeah, we started listening to our hearts. Yeah. We started listening to our guides.
But I also want to say is that like we also had the really difficult conversations, uncomfortable conversations that. And I mean, like all relationships, like
we're always just real with each other. Like we were asking, is this going to work? Is this working?
Yeah.
What do we need to do? And we would have these communication open to grow with each other.
Yeah. Like conversations like falling out of love. Like, you know, we did long distance and long distance is really hard. Like I hate it. I would never do it again. And I did it 3 times, you know, and like, I totally get it when like, it's not easy. And it's just being honest. And then it's like realizing, okay, like, do you want to continue going through this really hard thing? Like, is it, you know, and then is it worth it? And if the answer is yes, then like keep going, you know? And it's like, that's just it. And it's like, and, you know, and long distance is both also, it's a give and take, right? Because it's like, it has to be equal amount of energy being put into it. Cause it's like all of a sudden you're calling, but the other person isn't answering. And then you don't talk to them for a while. And you're like, hey, you know, like I'm putting all this effort, but you're not seeing the effort that's on the other side. And so it's like that too, it's really difficult. So I think just like being really honest, like our communication and what else would you say?
Well, yeah, it's being open to listen to that other partner is you know, whenever there's something wrong with you, you have to say that there's something wrong with you, and you have to realize that there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, sometimes David like gets it out of me because sometimes I'll like keep it inside and then he'll see something visibly wrong, like he knows I'm holding something in.
I feel it.
And he'll just be like, okay, say it, like what's bothering you? And I'm like,
yeah, and sometimes you don't even know what I'm talking about, and you have to think about why you feel this way. Mm-hmm. But I think that just being in tune with each other has really helped us, because we've grown up together essentially. But getting over our differences, of willing to compromise, has really put us into a good relationship. But then again, we both think that we were in relationships in other lives. We've been together, and whatever it may be, whoever was the partner or whatever life we lived, we feel like we've met before, and we'll keep meeting. And it doesn't feel like it's a temporary thing. It's really crazy. It really just feels like we're intertwined, and maybe one life we never meet. And maybe, you know, another
life. Maybe many lives, you know, we didn't meet. And then this life we met and we're like, we have to be together. Like, we can't do this again. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. So I really feel like it is a spiritual journey now. Whereas before it was just purely emotional. And not to say that it's not emotional anymore, where we just feel very good with each other. But now we also feel spiritually fulfilled with each other. And we grow spiritually together, mm-hmm. and we also give each other space to be able to grow mm-hmm. alone. And we're always open to each other's spiritual growth and personal growth.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, a lot of the things, like, let's say something gets me upset, like sometimes it's better, like less reaction and more like thinking, you know what I mean? Like maybe I get mad or triggered by something, and then it's like, I instead of like projecting and like taking it out on him, I think like, why am I feeling this way? Why did that one thing he just said like really make me upset? And then like, sometimes it's me, you know, like sometimes it's something like it's in ourselves, like that we think in our past, and it's like, oh, that's why I'm feeling like this. And then we come back to each other and say, like, have the conversation like, oh, you know, like when you said this, like, this is what I was feeling. And just so that we're on the same page, you know, like, and it's not that for him never to do it again, but it's also for me to like, or for him to like understand like where it's coming from. And it's like that, and then grow from that, you know, like,
traveling together, I think really put us in a good spot. It really made us a strong, it really it fortified our connection. One advice that I could give people is don't, if you're in a relationship and you want to travel with your partner, try to set some time in your life where it's not just about the vacation, the 2-week vacation, and you just want to get out someplace and you want to sit in a resort, and you know, that's fine too. Sitting in going to resorts is fine, and all inclusive, that's fine, but you're not getting any adventure. You're not getting any hardships. You're not really growing from it. It's just like home, but somewhere else in a different climate. I would really suggest, you know, setting aside at least a month to travel with your significant other and just to discover how they are when you're in difficult situations.
Yeah, uncomfortable situations.
And grow together and be there for each other, because mm-hmm. that's a huge building block that that'll be a cornerstone of your relationship, where things were so hard out in the jungle in the shack, where you just could not take another ant bite, or you were just freaking out over the amount of mosquitoes. And then you have to realize that this person that's here with you is not the mosquito, and you can get by, you can get through it together. And then whenever you come back to civilization and your life or whatever, and you really feel like all the troubles that you have in daily life have no comparison to that damn mosquito problem out in the middle of the jungle.
but even like, I'll give an example, like even when we were climbing Yosemite Falls, like what, that was a 4K hike up?
Yeah.
It was an 8K altogether.
No, it was 4 hours up and then it was 4 hours down.
But I was like dying. Like, David's really active. Like, David's been hiking like his entire life. But I hike here and there. And I mean, that hike for me, like, I was almost at the top. I think I had like 1 kilometer left to the top of the mountain, to the waterfall. And I was just ready to give up. I was like so upset. I was like throwing a tantrum. I was like, I really like did not want to keep going. And like, that's really uncomfortable, you know? And like, but he's just like, okay, like, you want to throw a tantrum? Like, okay, stay here. I'm going to keep going. And like, and you know, like, but in the end we did it together. Like, he kind of like got me to keep going, and then I made it to the top and I was like, oh yeah, this was totally worth it. Like,
I had to make her scared that I would leave, but I was never intended to leave her. I was just going to be like, I was going to drag her up, put her on my back if I had to just get her to the top, because in the end you went through something hard, and there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, and you just have to focus on the light at the end of the tunnel, not the dark ass tunnel that you're trying to navigate through, but not the next step, but you have to look at the top and you have to say, that's where I'm going, and my body can get me there, or I'll just pass out. Yeah, it was a very tough hike, but I mean, you have to go through hardships together. And coming back to like what I was saying is, don't go for the 2-week vacation and you know, in Cuba, the all-inclusive thing. Go do something hard. Find an experience, you know, like hire a guide to take you, you know, through the Andes, you know, like take the walk from Cusco to Machu Picchu. That's like a 3-day hike. And that'll surprise you how difficult that is, because you're going through desert, you're going through mountain highlands, and you're going through jungle. That's a really cool hike to do. I mean, there's just so many things that you can do. You can walk the Pacific Coast Trail, you can walk the Appalachian Trail, you can, and these are just active things too. There's other things that you can do where, you know, you're in isolation or you're among people. Go to a festival somewhere in the world, like in Bali, whenever they have their festival. What's the one called where they burn all the
Ogo Ogo? That was what they were burning, but it's a really beautiful, I forget what it's called, but it's like, what they do is they believe.
Well, anyways, just like do something that's extraordinary and together.
Yeah. And I think like also, new things, right? Like new cultures, like for me, definitely like Asia, like I'd never been anywhere like in that, you know, I've always traveled South America. I've always been like in like, you know, North America and whatever, but never like Asia, you know? And so that was for me, like, I love the food. So I always knew that, but like, it was a bit of a culture shock, but it was really cool. And like, we went through that together too. And so that was a new experience for us.
Well, you got to do your course, your bamboo course, yeah. bamboo building course, and I didn't do it. So I was kind of like left to my own devices in Bali. So I just got a scooter and I rode around and I went climbing. I went hiking and I went to the hot springs. And meanwhile, I don't know what Allie's doing because she's like in the middle of the jungle building things out of bamboo with people from all over the world. And you have to trust your partner. You have to also just know that you're along for the journey as well. You have to give your partner space to kind of experience stuff. And we would see each other every few days, you know, just to see how each other is doing. We'd call every night or something, or maybe every other night, or send a message. But just do something hard together, or be in the same vicinity and do something alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another thing, is like our alone space. Like in the RV, literally, this is us, like two feet away from each other, 24/7. Like, we got used to that. I mean, and that was fine. Like, we, you know, he'll do his thing and I'll do my thing, even though we're in this close proximity. And like, I'll be like reading something on my phone, or like he'll be playing video games or whatever on our, that's our alone time. But it's like, you know, and we're totally comfortable with silence. Like, we don't need to be having a conversation. And that's, for me,
I think it's just experience. So that comes with time. And we got through all the hard things together by just persistence. Mm-hmm. We were persistent and we said no to all the things that were trying to take our relationship away from us. And we ultimately allowed ourselves to be in control of our own fate, of being together.
And I mean, we still get into fight. Like, we still get angry.
Of course.
But it's like, that's because we're freaking human. So
it's because you ate like something that
but
I
we
wanted
talk
to
about
eat,
it.
Or you try to get stuff off of my plate.
But we talk about it. I think that's the big thing, is that we talk about it. And another thing is humility. Like, there's nothing wrong with saying sorry. Hey, you know, I did something. Or like, acknowledging like that maybe you're not always right, you know? And like,
yeah,
that's a huge thing. Like, and David definitely, like, he's so good at that. Like, he'll come, you know, even if I'm the one who did something wrong, he'll come in and say, I'm sorry. And then, but that him like saying sorry, it opens the conversation. And then I'm like, no, you know what? I was the shithead. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I was, you know, like, I was just feeling this way. And I was
just the thought that, instead of trying to win or be right, maybe just having the thought of being wrong, having the thought that maybe I am wrong, mm-hmm. and just starting with that, it just is a domino effect inside, mm-hmm. and it de-escalates. It just throws you off of whatever mountain that you were on trying to be right, and it's really trying to just be. It's hard to explain it now because it's just something new that I'm getting into. Like, I'm 31, and Ali is 29. Or you're 28. And we can't say that we're pro at this yet, even though that we've been together for our entire, you know, 13 years, 14, 13. I don't even remember anymore. 14 years. And we've been married for like three. Or two, or three. it's just a complete learning experience, and you have to stay persistent, and you have to stay open, spiritually and emotionally. Those are different.
So how have you guys been finding it since you've been, like, kind of forcefully cooped up together now?
It's like normal.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love it so much.
This is great. Like, before, we had 9-to-5s in the way. Now we don't have anything in the way of just us being around each other all the time. I mean, I don't ever get tired of her, and she never really gets tired of me. We may butt heads sometimes, and then we may be just like, look, I need to go on a walk by myself. And then the other person is like, oh, well, okay. And then you kind of feel bad for that person, and you take them along anyways. And it just turned out to be that you just wanted to go on a walk together. So, yeah, I mean, but like, if I really need to take a walk by myself and figure stuff out, like, she's always like, okay, you know, like, I'll see you when you get back. I'll make you something, or this, it's vice versa. You know, I like, she needs to go out and go get her thing at some store or whatever it is. But yeah, this is no difference to us. It's kind of like being back in the RV together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm definitely like, I'm bracing myself. Like, I'm starting to kind of like work on like daily habits and whatever, and like that I can implement like when I go back to my 9-to-5. And even that, like, I'm trying to think, like, I don't know. I have no idea what the future holds. Like, I really enjoy working from my computer, and I do some work already from my computer, but with my residential work. But yeah, I just want to, I don't know what happens after COVID. So right now we're just
playing it by ear. We're just, yeah, kind of like
trusting.
I guess I think everyone is right now. Everyone's just kind of trying to figure out how life will be like after, because it's not going back to normal.
But one thing that we did say, like, when we go for our like walks or whatever around the area, the neighborhood, like, we noticed that obviously there's a lot of people out, there's a lot of people exercising, and I think there's a lot of people who are like realizing that they weren't okay with like what was going on before, maybe their prior situation. Maybe being in an office 24/7 or whatever it is, obviously not 24/7, but like, you know, and that was one thing that we realized when we did the RV trip, was that we were always in nature. We were always outside and still able to work from home. And I think now people are getting to experience that, is being able to work from home. So some people, working from home, but then, you know, like on break or, you know, having more time for themselves to be able to go out and exercise and focus on their health, you know?
All right, everybody. So I hope you enjoy the first half of this conversation with David and Allie, because there is definitely more to come. There was a lot more to talk about, so we decided to keep rolling, and we got some more stuff coming for you guys. If you wanted to give us your thoughts or any insights that you gained from this conversation, feel free to reach out to us. We have an email, which is havealittleinsight@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook as well. And on Instagram, we are Hali Podcast. That's H-A-L-I Podcast. And to find out more information about David and Allie and their adventures, we have all of their socials and their blog and more information on our website, havealittleinsight.com.